And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. How the hell are you?
I'm doing good, buddy. How about that Super Bowl, man? I mean...
Oh, Mike, I'm telling you what. If you didn't drink during that game, I don't know how you made it through it. That was the worst Super Bowl I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, it was a little salt on the wound, you know, because I'm not a huge Patriot fan, obviously. But, yeah, that was brutal, brother.
Well, I got to tell you, Shane, once we kind of started to figure out this game was going to be a dud, what was the score at halftime? I believe it's 3-0. I mean, it was one of the worst games I think I'd ever seen. It's a good thing I was a little tipsy while I was watching it. But I showed you this tweet leading up to the game. I don't know if anyone out there is following Jose Canseco, former baseball player. He's been... He's out there in outer space, Shane. He's gone off the deep end. He's been talking about time travel for several weeks now. And leading up to the game, Shane, he said he's just come back from the future. Rams win it 27-20. So I was just hoping and praying for that 27-20 to finally come through the second half. It never did. And I'm starting to lose faith, man. I don't think Jose Canseco's been to the future after all.
And Mike, I responded because we got to be fair here. He did not say what year. So we may be talking a few years down the road. So I don't know. When Canseco started tweeting this stuff out, I was like, oh, my God, he's lost it.
Well, speaking of the Super Bowl, Shane, before we get around the league here, we got to talk about this Kentucky Super Bowl commercial. If anybody thinks this Wildcat fan base is just, you know, one and done and they're not going to support this team, I don't know how you couldn't support a guy like old Cash Daniel. He's going to be one of our favorites going into 2019 after an outstanding 2018 season. But I don't know if you caught this commercial, Shane. We're going to play it here. This is going to get you jacked up. I know the season's about 200 days away, but I may have to listen to this once a day every morning to get ready for the football season.
It's hard to get there. It's even harder to stay there. So tell me, how are we going to handle success? How are we going to reach the next level? How are we going to make history again?
We already know what others are going to say.
Yeah.
They can't keep this up. They'll take a step back. It was special. Now it's done. Well, they're right about two things. It was special. It is done. But we're not. So what are you going to bring to the table? How do you replace legends? You become one. You become one. What's next? What's next? What's next? What's next?
Us.
All right, Shane, so how about that commercial, man? I mean, I thought that thing was awesome.
And Mike, I missed this. So I don't know if this was like a national deal or a local deal, but, you know, kudos to them. I mean, there was no Tennessee commercials here in East Tennessee. So the fact Kentucky's spending some money, I don't know what their advertising budget is, but you got to have cash on all of it. I want to see him on billboards. I want to see him in commercials. I want to see him on every ticket you ever buy at Kentucky. You know, you have got a great marketing source there, and you got to capitalize on that. So I just love this guy.
And think about it, Shane. I mean, if this doesn't say how far Kentucky football's come in just a couple of months, Cash Daniel selling tickets in the Walmart parking lot on sale to being on the freaking Super Bowl. I mean, that pretty much says it all for that program, doesn't it?
Mom, I've made it.
All right, Shane, let's go around the league.
Let's do it.
Now let's go around the league.
We hadn't decided how we're going to play the guys, so, and I wouldn't tell you if I did. So, you know, I don't mind you asking a question, but I don't need to answer it.
No, I mean, I'll be whistling Rocky Top by the end of the week. All our play. I mean, it's just like, right? I mean, just hear it over and over, and, you know, like every other or every third song, it'll roll through within the crowd noise that we play at practice. So you just you get used to it. It's a catchy tune, right? I mean,
this game's going to be a street fight. This game's going to be a street fight. I mean, some of you guys don't know who Kimbo Slice is. Hopefully you do. And you go back to it, man, this isn't a sanctioned fight. This is a street fight. I mean, this is the SEC. So, man, it's time. It's time to put on the hard hat, lunch pail. Let's get to work.
All right, Shade, starting in Columbia, Missouri, continuation of what happened there at the end of the week. The NCAA imposed a one-year postseason ban on the football program, along with some recruiting restrictions. And if this goes through, like we noted on the previous podcast, seniors are going to be able to leave the program without penalty. And Barry Odom, you know, he responded to a lot of this on Friday. He had a presser. Unfortunately, I don't have a really good audio source for this. We do have a quick clip that we're going to jump to here in just a minute, but I'll give you some of the highlights of what he had to say, Shane. You know, he noted this is out there. He found out about it on Thursday himself, just like everybody else. And it's just a weird and wild time because all his coaches were out on the road recruiting. He had to touch base with them because he knew those coaches were going to be fielding questions about this. And then they had a meeting with the players that following afternoon. And then they, once again, after that, kind of like you said, Odom would have to go in recruiting mode for his seniors. And that's what he did. He said he's met with his seniors twice in a span of a day. So, and he was asked during his press conference, is anyone leaving? He said, no, no one at this point has announced they're leaving. But I thought that one of the most interesting things from his press conference on Friday, Shane, was he noted several programs around the nation. He didn't name any of them, but he said several programs have already reached out to many of his seniors. What are your thoughts on it was probably some SEC teams, if I had to guess, but everyone trying to gauge Missouri's players and whether they want to stay or go there.
I bet it's Coach Morris. That's who I'm leaning toward. He had the Jets fueled, Mike. I don't know. The more I hear about this situation, the more I'm upset because as open as Missouri was to the NCAA, it sounds like they did not open up to Barry Odom. I mean, the fact that he found out Thursday and didn't have a game plan, here you are going into your last weekend. You probably got recruits there on the campus and you find out this blow. And it felt like Barry was scrambling. He was trying to get ahead of it. He was trying to get on the camera, let people know, let recruits know that everything's fine. We're going to fight this. But obviously, the admin knew this was going on. And it feels like they left Barry out, which that kind of frustrates me, man.
Well, from everything I've heard, though, I mean, they did not see this bowl ban coming. Now, they did suggest that they thought probation was certainly going to be an option. They seem very frustrated by the fact that there's recruiting restrictions when this had nothing to do with recruiting. Of course, you know, you can go back to our previous podcast of a full breakdown of all this, but basically at the heart of it, all it was one tutor doing some work for some football players, I think a basketball player and baseball and softball players. And according to Missouri, they, you know, no one else knew about this. She was not under commands to do this. Just a lone tutor who apparently, Shane, this woman was taking diligent notes about everybody she met with, and she's saying like 50 players, but the NCAA said only 12, so I don't know who to believe there, but I just thought that was pretty interesting. And the big comment here from Barry Odom's presser, which we do have this clip, I mean, he basically says at the end of it, bring it on, NCAA.
You navigate your guys through that. You teach them lessons and understand in life things are handed to you that aren't fair. It's the way life is. And what are you going to do about it? You know, there's not anybody that's sitting around and say, oh, poor, pitiful Missouri. I guarantee you. So we're going on attack, and bring it on.
So, yeah, right there. I mean, that says it all, Shade. I mean, Barry Odom not backing down. I don't know. I think you got to like this passion if you're a Missouri fan, but it could just be bravado for bravado's sake, because I'm not really sure of any people that appeal these things, and it kind of reverses. So do you have any thoughts after seeing that clip from Barry Odom there?
I'd be fine with it too, or at least give that, you know, I don't know, make it feel that way. Like I said, you got, I mean, the timing of this all is the worst. You're right here before National Signing Day, you're going to come out with this devastating news. So, I mean, you would think the NCAA would be a little bit more, I mean, they know it's National Signing Day, you know, wait a couple weeks, let this, you know, and then let the appeals fight and stuff. You're not going to ruin anything that Missouri's trying to do. So, I hope that they do get it reversed. I think a bowl ban for this incident is ridiculous, unless you've got proof that Barry Odom or a staff member made that tutor do it. And as open as they are, you would think that that would have came out. So I don't think that's the case. I don't know. I don't like the way Missouri's being done here, Mike.
Yeah. And you know, the final thing I got on this is basically, you know, we all know the history there, Missouri, once they jumped in the SEC and the protests and everything. And I don't think that program's ever recovered. I don't think the fan attendance has ever recovered. And they just put together back-to-back solid seasons. And it looked like it was all pointing towards this 2019 being maybe the best ever. And that's despite losing maybe the best quarterback in program history. So they just had a lot of momentum going. And, you know, this could be a serious roadblock. And if it is, you know, if the appeal does not work, it's really disappointing, I think, for the direction of that program.
And money. I mean, I'm sure he's got a bonus if he makes it to a bowl game. That's off the table. He got assistant coaches, same thing. Even the university's losing out on money. So if they've got any resources here to fight this, I hope Missouri brings it.
Yeah, because when you are banned from postseason play, Shane, you do not get to collect money from the SEC teams going to the postseason. So like, say, Ole Miss the last 2 years, they've lost, I believe it's close to $8 million, Shane, because they do not get to collect any kind of postseason money while they're banned. So yeah, that's another good point there. That really hurts your budget there. One final thing on Missouri, Shay, this was, I'm not trying to mock Missouri here, but who was the chairman of their board here, John Sundvoid is his name. Mm-hmm. He issued a statement on Friday. You know, it's pretty bland at the top, basically just calling out the NCAA, saying this is ridiculous and Missouri did the right thing. But why I mentioned this, Shane, at the very end of his statement, after blasting the NCAA, saying they're going to appeal everything, he closes it. Everyone's on board until this last segment here. Here's the chairman's statement. As our appeal moves forward, I appreciate the support of the SEC and Commissioner Greg Sankey. And when Missouri wins the SEC East next year, he should do the right thing and invite its good standing member to play in the SEC championship game. I mean, why the hell you put that in your statement?
That's awesome. I love it, though, man. I love it.
Okay, Shane, let's jump to Fayetteville, Arkansas, where, you know, we don't have a clip or anything. We kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago. I just thought this was kind of interesting. A lot of Arkansas fans reacting to it, but the Razorbacks' official Twitter account, they tweeted out some photos here, Shane. This is something we touched on earlier with some of their players. They have stripped everything off the players, even Coach Morris. They've stripped him of everything. He does have a Razorback lanyard, you know, I guess it's just a whistle around his neck, but even Coach Morris, man, he's just down to his sweats. They got Morris written on his back with looks like just a permanent marker, and you got players working out in sweats. What was your reaction to seeing these photos?
I told you, brother, I love this because, you know, like I said, these are high school kids. You know, and it's something different. Nobody in the conference is doing anything, or I've ever heard do anything like this. Mm-hmm. And so earning your stripes, basically earning what the hell are they earning? Their clothes?
I mean, everything, the right to use the locker room, the jerseys.
So I'm just curious because I did try to find some more stuff on this. Mm-hmm. Is it something that's like individual? Like if you have a couple of guys that are just going 100 miles an hour, they get to use the locker room first? Or is this like once the team reaches a certain level? I'm just kind of curious how this is structured.
I think it's got to be the whole team, Shane, because that's kind of been Morris's message since the season ended. You know, 2-10, unacceptable. I mean, he's used it unacceptable 50 times in one of his final pressers. And certainly his team's performance was pretty pathetic. It was unacceptable, I guess would be a good word to use there. But I don't think it's going to be a thing where player A, oh, yeah, you did good today. You can wear your gear. You know, player okay. B, get it next. I mean, because then you got guys out there with equipment on yeah. and some don't. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's got to be he's trying to get everyone pulling in the right direction. And maybe they didn't have that last year. And, you know, I thought this was kind of hokey. I was not really that big of a fan of it. But now that I see Chad Morris himself has been stripped, his strength and conditioning staff has been stripped, they're in their sweats, I'm on board with this now, because, you know, they didn't get the job done either. So they're kind of holding themselves accountable, which I really like.
Yeah, they're all buying in, so that's cool. Hey, let me ask you, Mike, just for the listeners and myself, because I am now, they can be coached at this time. I thought they had to wait towards spring.
Yeah, that is the ruling, which I thought was interesting too when we saw this Chad Morris. I'm not really sure where that specifically came from. Now, I think he may be able to essentially like make an appearance.
Okay.
He is not allowed to coach them. I don't think he's allowed to, you know, give them any tips or anything. I'm not really sure, because I'm right there with you. I thought that was odd, but I do think he's allowed to evaluate on a very rare basis, like once a week or something like that. But they, even the strength staff, they're allowed to do football-like activities, but the way they get around it, there is no football is allowed to be anywhere in the facility. So they can kind of like run through patterns and stuff and mock throwing the ball, but there just cannot be any ball or anything simulating a football.
Well, Mike, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, you know, but Morris had quite a sweat worked up. So, I mean, unless he jogged to the campus there, my eyebrows were a little raised, you know. At first it was like, this is cool. And then I'm like, what the hell's Morris doing out there? It's like Fulmer. You remember when he got caught coaching them? And he says, and he got that boy with the camera. He says, now don't be filming me, you know. Morris gonna be like, don't be taking pictures of me now.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Texas A&M. This is not even Texas A&M related per se, but I do think we have to hit on this. This is just something somebody tweeted out and it caught my eye, but this is the Florida State quarterbacks since 2013, guys that committed to the program. And of course, Jimbo Fisher, that was his program, and he's an outstanding quarterback coach. I'll give him that. And I always thought he had a great eye for quarterback talent. But I think this really tells the tale of maybe why things went wrong there at Florida State in his final years. But let's just go down this list, Shane, of Florida State quarterback commits since 2013. You got John Franklin, who that guy was a huge bust, who ended up, of course, going to Last Chance U and then going to Auburn. And I think he ended at FAU, so he was all over the place. They had a guy named J.J. Costinto. He retired, so I'm not really blaming that on Jimbo Fisher, but there's another one. You had DeAndre Francois. He was dismissed from the program. Mm-hmm. You got DeAndre Johnson. He was also dismissed from the program, and that was the guy that he punched a woman at a bar, and it was, you know, caught on camera, so they had to give him the boot. Malik Henry, who was actually on Last Chance U, the new one,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
he was also dismissed. I think he's had some substance abuse issues down there. Bailey Hawkman is kind of one of their new guys. James Blackman, who, you know, these names are nothing special. So I don't know, Shane, does this give you any cause for concern about the future of Texas A&M at quarterback? Because, you know, I was really impressed. I think you were too, with what Kellen Mond showed in flashes last year. But Jimbo's first year, I believe he brought in a quarterback named James Foster, I want to say his name was. He was a 3-star. This year, Zach Calzada, I think he's another 3-star. So it's not like he's lining up 5-star quarterbacks there at A&M. But maybe it's probably hard to recruit when you got sophomore Kellen Mond on campus and entrenched as the starter, but do you take anything away from this list, or am I maybe making too big of a deal of this?
I think a little too big of a deal, just because, you know, if you remember, John Franklin was absolutely horrible. I mean, just an absolute horrible quarterback. I watched him in Last Chance U, and I remember Auburn trying to get him, and I was like, did they not watch Last Chance U? Because, you know, he is not a good quarterback. So, you know, I think he's playing defensive back now in the NFL, right. or may got cut. I don't know. But JJ was a backup the whole time. Mm-hmm. Francois dismissed for, I think it was domestic. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Johnson, same thing, assaulting a woman. So Malik Henry, absolute garbage. If you didn't watch, I've never not – I mean, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt if we meet. And maybe you rubbed me wrong the first time we met. But I've never watched 1 minute of Last Chance U with Malik Henry in it and thought, you know what? He's an okay guy. The guy – Malik is just – I mean, he's a total asshole. And he thinks he's God's gift to football. So, you know, he's out in Nevada, so that's good. So his career will die out there. Bailey Hockman, James Blackman, you know, yeah, whatever. Blackman, I think he was the one, if I'm not mistaken – took over Francois's job when he got hurt, and then Francois took the job back. So again, a backup. So no, I think the list is just coincidence, and I really don't think it has anything to do with Jimbo. In fact, you know, he scouted some of these guys. You know, he got them on the campus. Maybe they showed some sparks of talent, but I'm not hanging this on him because those are just wild stories, man.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of character issues. So you don't think that Jimbo is responsible at all for, I don't know, maybe I would think that's something you'd want to evaluate in a quarterback, but I don't really know much about Florida State, so I don't want to read too much into these situations. Maybe they're isolated instances. Maybe, I mean, you could bring in a, you know, All-American, great guy, you know, and he could punch a woman, and of course you got to get rid of them. So I mean, I'm sure that may have happened in one or two of these situations, but you're seeing time after time. I don't know. I've been called a Jimbo homer, so I'm trying to play the other hand here, I guess. When I think this is disturbing to me a little bit, to just the fact that, like I said, he's a great quarterback mind. He's a great quarterback developer. Mm-hmm. And this many misses, I don't know. I need to see him bring in a key quarterback here at College Station to kind of.
But maybe that is showing a little bit. Maybe he has no problem making a quarterback a better quarterback, but maybe his problem is making them a better person, a better team leader. Because here you got, like I said, Malik Henry was all about himself. There was no team. That was, you know, Franklin, a little bit better, but still it was a one man show. Now, again, you're on TV, you're trying to get back into the Division One. So maybe it's a little bit different because of that situation, but I don't know. Maybe he does need to work a little bit more on the personality side of the player. And everything I've heard and seen, I've not heard any complaints on Mon being a bad person. So maybe he just, you know, he recruited a few bad apples.
All right, Shane, final update that I have around the league here. Let's go to Tuscaloosa, where two players are now in the NCAA transfer portal. And that's defensive back Kyreek McDonald and long snapper Scott Meyer. And when the long snapper's gone, Shane, I think that may signal the end there for Alabama.
It's over. The dynasty's over, Mike. Well, the real story here is Scott was a backup. So Scott had the job. You know, he had the job last year, or not like this season, but the season before. And then I think he lost it this year. So I just think he's looking for opportunity. And same thing probably with McDonald. I don't know really anything. I do know that he passed out during the national championship game celebrating on the sideline because he had a flu, but that's the extent of McDonald news that I know.
All right, Shane. So pretty slow weekend here for news, but at least team-wise, we got a bunch of recruiting stuff to jump to, though. So Let's jump into a recap of the official visitors and everything around the SEC from the weekend.
All right. This is not a four-year decision. This is a 40-year decision. Come to the University of South Carolina and you'll be successful the next 40 years.
Recruiting and retaining is our top priority. We're coming. We're coming fast. We're coming at you. The Jets fueled up. We're ready to go.
He was my guy from the get-go. I watched all of them across the country. I truly believe Zach is as good of a quarterback as there is in the United States. I really, his arm talent, his ability to run and create plays and make guys around him like an old-school quarterback. And it's just, he can do everything.
We have more players in the league than anybody else. We play in the greatest stadium. We play in the greatest conference. And we're the LSU Tigers. If you love the purple and gold, you'll come play for us.
All right, Shane, so this was the final weekend before National Signing Day. You know, unfortunately, National Signing Day has lost a lot of its luster because it's just not nearly as many guys committing and signing. You know, most of them are going through the early signing day, so we're without some drama, but there's still going to be some good stuff happening, some anticipation for a lot of fans. And let's start in Baton Rouge, Shane, your boy Coach O. He had himself quite the weekend because a lot of these schools, they're using these final weekends as kind of like a junior day where they're already recruiting a 2020 and 2021, mm-hmm. just getting a jump start on future recruiting classes. Well, LSU this weekend, they had an old school, you know, got to get all our key guys in there for the final weekend. I think that's a smart way to do it. It's a gamble because you may not, you know, if you keep delaying it too long, and they decide, hey, maybe that's not the school for me, or they sign early or what have you, it can certainly blow up in your face. But for LSU, they got a couple spots remaining, and they had some major, major targets on campus. So let's start with Louisiana's number one defensive lineman, Ishmael Softshear, the Alabama-LSU battle here for one of the nation's top defensive linemen. He was in Baton Rouge. And guess who he had with him, Shane? Four-star defensive back Christian Williams, who's actually an Alabama commit. It's looking pretty good for the Tigers to potentially flip Christian Williams. They were joined by four-star receiver Devontae Lee. And he, once again, this is an LSU-Alabama battle. Four-star defensive lineman Brian Young, who is also an Alabama commit. Four-star defensive lineman Charles Moore, who it looks like an Auburn-LSU battle. All those guys were on their official visit with junior college defensive lineman Sony Foniu, who he committed during the weekend. So you know it was a pretty good weekend if you got guys committing down there. The mm-hmm. rest of these guys, Shane, if they land, the majority of these guys, they're going to jump to as high as number 3 in the recruiting rankings nationally. Interestingly enough, only puts him at number 3 in the SEC because of Alabama and Georgia. But, I mean, we're talking a huge weekend here that if it all went well for Coach O, they're going to be eating a lot of gumbo here on Wednesday on National Signing Day.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, Ishmael definitely will be. That's a big old boy. So you definitely want him. I think I read one of the factors is his brother plays with LSU. So I think that's pretty much a done deal, ain't it?
Well, here's the deal with that. His brother is in junior college and is going to be a 2020 prospect.
Oh, okay.
And not everyone's willing to take him. I think when people say that, I think that means Alabama.
Oh, okay. This is the one that says he's not going unless you – yeah. For some reason, I thought they said his older brother was there. It says here, it says, this year, soft serve mm-hmm. is a guy, planning to make his final decision in February. One mm-hmm. factor at play is the desire to play with his older brother, Rodney. LSU, so –
Right, so his older, he can be older, but he's in junior college.
Oh, okay.
So this guy's in high school, so his older brother was currently in junior college.
That's how it works, Mike. That's how it works.
So you had it right the whole time, but just
okay. All right. Yeah, it didn't make sense. I got lost there because I do know that it was like really close there at the beginning. And he said something like he's not going anywhere, but it's like his brother's like a zero star, you know,
right.
I mean, he's going to be a walk on, but LSU doesn't have that many spots left. So I doubt that's going to happen.
Well, they get, sometimes to beat Alabama, you got to take two guys sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we hired a dude's sister up here. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah. You know, in my mind, why this could be such a big weekend, obviously you want to win in recruiting,
mm-hmm.
but if you start flipping guys that are Alabama commits and you start signing guys that Alabama's your main competition, I mean, that is huge for the perception of LSU and Alabama. Alabama is, you know, keeps distancing themselves on the field. But this is how LSU is going to catch up here, is by winning these recruiting battles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just really think that if they close strong here, while their final rankings will not indicate the same as Alabama, I think they got to feel good that they're basically on equal footing in this recruiting class.
Absolutely, man. Here you got, I mean, you're talking potential top five. So you got Alabama, Georgia, LSU. Is it A&M up there too?
Yeah, they're right there.
I mean, so here you got but the main thing is you're looking at top five, three of them are in the West. Mm-hmm. So you cannot afford to have 1 year off. If 1 year you fall, I mean, Alabama's going to stay there. A&M's on the rise. So LSU's got to keep recruiting. And you keep doing that by keeping your guys in the state. And that's, you know, that's what's so big about Ishmael, is the fact that he's right there.
All right, Shane, let's jump to your team, Knoxville, going old Rocky Top there, where over the weekend, five-star offensive lineman Darnell Wright, he took his official visit, his final official, only a second official visit that he's taken. Five-star receiver George Pickens, the Auburn commit, he also took his official visit over the weekend, and I think that's an interesting one, Shane, because you're talking two of the top 20 players in the nation.
Yeah.
Potentially making their decision to come to Tennessee. The story with Pickens, apparently as soon as he left, though, Shane, he drove down and visited Auburn. So I don't know what you read into that. Maybe that was him telling the Auburn coaches, I'm out. Maybe that was him telling them, you know, I'm still with you guys. I don't know. I don't want to read too much into it, but Jeremy.
Mike, I'm reading into it. He went down there and dropped his gear off. That's what he did. So go on.
George Pickens from Hoover, that's where Jeremy Pruitt's from. That's where mm-hmm. defensive coordinator Kevin Scherer's from. That's where the director of football operations Todd Watson is from. So Tennessee's got a ton of ties to Hoover. This is a guy, George Pickens, that said, if Jeremy Pruitt was the coach, you know, a year earlier, I'd be heading to Tennessee already. And this is a guy that went down to the Under Armour All-American game, Shane, and he was the most outstanding receiver down there. How big would it be if Tennessee were able to pull this late flip on National Signing Day?
God, Mike, that would be so big because we've got a couple receivers in this class, but we don't have that guy. You know, it doesn't feel like it. And this is a game-changing wide receiver, so for sure. I mean, but I don't want to get my hopes up because, you know, it's come down to Tennessee and Auburn before and usually ends with a hat toss or something, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of linebackers, Shane, Tennessee desperately looking to add a linebacker. You know, we've went on about Henry Teoto'o, so we're still mm-hmm. waiting to see what happens there. I think it's actually good news for Tennessee, Shane, because once these, you know, recruiting reporters and everything start saying, I've been waiting for them to say, based on what you tell me and based on what we've been hearing, everyone's saying, He's going to Alabama. I've not really heard that, Shane. I've heard a lot of, we don't really know. So and that's not to say Tennessee's the favorite, but they're still in the mix there. This is how I read into that. And that's important, Shane, because the in-state linebacker, Chris Russell, he was scheduled to take his official visit to Knoxville with Darnell Wright, with George Pickens. He just decided he's not coming. So Tennessee out of the running for another in-state prospect. What are your thoughts on Tennessee's, you know, it just seems like this year, this cycle, they've just not been able to seal the deal with the in-state prospects.
I know, and that's been frustrating because here we are, you know, going into Georgia, going into Alabama and recruiting, But we've been having such a hard time protecting our own borders, you know? And it's different, like the Memphis area and stuff, because you're talking 500 miles away. So it's not like they're a local school. But when you start losing some of these Nashville guys and, in that area, that's what we're losing out the most. Even East Tennessee guys, you know, like Cade Mays in the past and Higgins and all them boys, you know, I mean, they would have been great at Tennessee, but we keep failing to keep our borders controlled. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, if Jeremy Pruitt is going to be the guy there at Tennessee for the long haul, he's got to get that corrected sooner or later, because when he's not getting these guys, Shane, they're going to Clemson, they're going to Georgia, they're going to mm-hmm. South Carolina, they're going to schools that Tennessee has to regularly face or will have to face if they, you know, take that next step forward. And you need those guys on your side instead of facing them.
Absolutely, man. I mean, that's what makes you good. That's like Kirby Smart. You know, Kirby's got, I think he's got recruits from 14 different states. But he's getting a lot of great talent right there in the state of Georgia. Mm-hmm. If you can keep your talent inside the state, like where it's not an issue, and then reach out and get some more recruits, then you become a top five recruiting team. So, but you got to remember the product. You know, comparing Tennessee and Georgia is apples and oranges right now. We got to start winning ball games, and then I think it becomes easier to recruit inside your own state.
All right, Shane, let's jump to Tuscaloosa quickly, where they had a very important official visitor over the weekend. Five-star running back Jerrion Ealy, and this is the guy that set the Under Armour All-American Game rushing record, a former Ole Miss commit who he's still – considering Ole Miss, so they're the Rebels not out of the running. He's also recently visited Clemson, and of course, this is the guy that they say, you know, we don't follow Major League Baseball on this podcast, but apparently he's a top prospect for the baseball draft that's upcoming this summer. So Jerrion Ealy's got a lot on his plate here, Shane. He's got a lot. Alabama, Clemson, Major League Baseball, Ole Miss. I mean, these are all good options, and what are your thoughts on Alabama potentially getting
him? I mean, this guy, nobody knows what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? He's got, I mean, what would you say if he's got all these hats on the table and he throws one on, throws it off, and the next thing you know, he gets a baseball bat and he says, psych, I'm going to baseball, you know? Gotcha. he just wanted to see the world. So, I don't know, man. I have no feel on this kid. I have no idea what he's going to do right now. But I do know that he's a really good baseball player and a potential, you know, first-round pick. So you can never rule that out. I mean, you're talking millions of dollars like that. So you just never know when that much money is right around the corner.
Yeah, and I think the play here for him, Shane, you know, make his decision here on National Signing Day, and then wait and see what happens in this draft. See how high as he goes, because a lot of times, you know, these guys are projected high, but that doesn't guarantee you anything. They made, after this whole Kyler Murray deal, baseball teams may kind of shy away from these guys. So, you know, if he's projected first round, but he goes in the sixth or seventh round, I mean, that changes things in a hurry. So I think if I were him, you got to make the best football decision for you. Get to this draft, see where you play out, and then make your final decision. But it'll be an interesting one to see for me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man.
All right, let's jump to Athens, Shane, where they had a big recruiting visit this weekend. Four-star receiver Jonathan Mingo, who's an Ole Miss commit. He's one of their highest-ranked commits there for the Rebels. This is basically Georgia spending their attention on this guy, and I can't think of the other guy's name, but we touched on him on a previous podcast, Shane, the Miami graduate transfer who's like 6'5", and all he does is catch damn touchdowns. So Georgia's spending a lot of attention on receivers, trying to get Jake Fromm some weapons here on National Signing Day. How big would it be for Georgia to flip an Ole Miss commit here? Jonathan Mingo, one of the nation's top receivers on National Signing Day.
Oh, that's what they need, man, and that's what they've been landing. I think they've already got – who they got down there now? They got what is his name? Blaylock? Is that
– Oh, yeah, yeah. Blaylock was one of the guys they sent. Five-star receiver, scored – I believe he scored two touchdowns in the All-American Bowl. So, I mean, he looks like he's going to be a big-time receiver too, but
– and Demetrius Robertson, the Cal transfer, right?
Right. So, you know, he didn't make a huge impact last season, but he's just a home run waiting to happen. Maybe, you know, I'm not really sure people kept waiting for him to make an impact. I think obviously there's so many playmakers. It made sense to kind of maybe move him along slowly just because everyone else needed their touches too. But
yeah,
if he has a big breakout year, I mean, Georgia should be fine. I mean, I don't know if there's going to be a faster player in the SEC outside of that receiver for Auburn. I mean, Robertson may be one of the two or three fastest players in the nation next year.
Dude, load up with talent. Load up with these young receivers. I mean, this is exactly what Bama did, and it worked out, you know, got them to a national championship. So I think that's what – you can never have too many weapons around you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I should jump to Fayetteville, where they did not have an official visitor this weekend, but they did have an unofficial visitor from four-star linebacker Lakia Henry. He's rated as the nation's number one junior college linebacker, former Tennessee commit, Shane, so that should be a name you're familiar with. I think Tennessee, if they strike out on all their damn linebacker targets, they're going to regret letting this guy go. I did have an interesting question for you, Shane. When Lakia Henry rolled up to Fayetteville this weekend, do you think they gave him some team gear, or they just threw some sweats at him and said, here's your gear, you got to earn it?
Dude, he got everything he wanted. I guarantee. Moore said, the boys ain't even put this on yet, so you just take what you want. These guys are running laps in their sweats, and he's getting whatever he wants, man.
I just can't wait to see his face if he does sign with the Razorbacks. You know, he's got the swag. He shows up day one. They strip him of all that shit and say, here's your sweat, son.
Oh, shit.
All right, Shane, Starkville, let's jump to Mississippi State, where they also did not have any official visitors, but I did want to make this note. Nathan Pickering, their top-rated commit currently, a four-star defensive lineman there from Mississippi. He was scheduled to visit Alabama here this final weekend. He shut that down. He said he's shutting down his recruitment to anybody but Mississippi State coaches. So this is huge news for the Bulldogs. And keep in mind, this is the guy, Shane, that when Alabama stole Mississippi State's defensive line coach, you know, a lot of Alabama fans got excited. Like, hey, maybe that give us a in with Pickering here. And he went to Twitter and basically called that coach out, saying he's not committing for any coach. He's doing it for, you know, he's going for the school. So Mississippi State gets a big win there leading up to national signing day. They're going to hold on to one of their top prospects. And then last note I got here, Shane, Oxford's jumped to Ole Miss, where they hosted four-star athlete Adonis Ote. He is an Arkansas commit. This is the guy that's been down to USC recently on an official visit. So this guy's visiting all over the place. But I have seen, following this visit, he tweeted out he's announcing his final decision on National Signing Day. And he said it's down to Arkansas and USC. So it just sounded like it was a free trip down to Ole Miss.
Now, this is the one we were worried about going. I mean, we were worried about Morris losing, right? This is the one I think we talked about a couple of days ago, didn't we?
Yeah, so he took his visit to USC, and I mean, he seemed to enjoy that. They seem to be in his top two now, so it's down to USC and Arkansas. I'm interested to see what happens here.
Who you think he's going to go? Here's another one, man. Just another Tennessee guy. Anyway, I'm sorry. It's been a frustrating day, Mike. Where do you think this man lands?
I honestly think he's going to go to USC, Shane, because he's been committed to Arkansas for so long. I think if he was really dead set on choosing the Razorbacks, I think he would have signed during the early signing period. So I never blame someone for taking all their trips. Maybe he just wanted to take all his trips. So that's why he didn't sign. But I don't know. He just seems to be taking all these trips. It tells me maybe he does not have his heart, maybe is not it with Arkansas. So I don't know. I think the allure to playing in Southern California may be too much for Adonis Ote.
You're probably right, man. It's probably like what we said, you know, where would you want to go? You know, maybe it is Arkansas. The more I think about it, maybe he just wanted to get out of town, see California for a little bit, but you know, he's going to be in the sweats tomorrow, you know?
All right, Shane, final thing I've got before we jump off here. ESPN has announced their coverage for National Signing Day. So they got six guys here, six elite guys that are all SEC targets here. So I'm going to run these down in the order that they're supposed to commit. And we'll start with a guy we just kind of touched on a moment ago, five-star running back Jerrion Ealy. He's going to be deciding at noon on ESPN on National Signing Day on Wednesday. Four-star cornerback Kyir Elam, who he's going to be down to Georgia and Florida. So that's a big one. That'll be announced at 1. Also during that 1 o'clock block, the four-star defensive lineman Ishmael Softshear between LSU and Alabama. We touched on him. Four-star receiver Devontae Lee. He will also be, so all those three at the 1 o'clock hour. Here you go, Shane. This will be of interest to you. Four-star linebacker Henry Tioto, 3 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. And last but not least, Shane, you were going to have to sweat this one out the entire National Signing Day. This guy's drug out his damn recruitment for as long as anyone that seems like is destined to one place. Five-star Darnell Wright will be committing at 4 o'clock on ESPN. So there's going to be quite a bit of elite prospects making their decisions. There's more than those guys, but these are just the ones that are SEC-related.
I can't believe that, man. 4 o'clock. And, you know, he doesn't let us in. We have no idea what he's doing, you know? Like, does he even do social media or anything like that? It's like, I'm getting no feedback from Wright. So maybe it's just all football with him, and he wants to make this a big deal. But I don't know, Mike. Do you think West Virginia – I am worried about West Virginia. I ain't going to lie. I mean, mm-hmm. When 10 coaches come to your house and, you know, pitch the whole – you're doing this for the whole state of West Virginia. His whole family's there. So, I mean, that does weigh on your mind. And but he would be such a huge piece for us. Do you think there's any chance, just crystal balling it right now, do you think there's any chance he does go to West Virginia?
You know, Shane, I'm going to be honest with you here. I think he looked at the calendar here and said, I got to make my decision late in the afternoon because cousin Shane, if I break his heart early in the morning, that son of a bitch won't get any work done, so I'm going to do it at the end of the workday.
I
don't think there's any chance he doesn't pick Tennessee, but recruiting's a strange thing, Shane, and I don't really understand why he's not – I don't understand why he didn't do it during the early signing period, to be honest with you, but the fact that he didn't go anywhere else, I mean, I don't know who's really wanting to go to West Virginia to play for that new system, new coach and all that, but – I mean, maybe he could be the key piece there, but I mean, Tennessee's been on this guy for years, and I mean, all signs point to Tennessee.
You know, I was looking at it. I know this is like probably nobody else even considered this, but you know, the polar vortex thing was a big deal, right? It got cold. The whole country got cold. Mm-hmm. West Virginia got extremely cold. So I was looking at this, and go with me, Mike. I think the last 4 days before he came to Knoxville's campus, I think the highest it got was 21 degrees, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, just freezing. And, I mean, I looked at the city where he lived. That's the research I'm doing here. So then he comes to Knoxville. It wasn't a beautiful day, but it got up to almost 60 degrees. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking if he doesn't like cold, maybe he thinks it's always warm in Knoxville. And it just kind of, you know, warmed his spirit. And he's like, you know, this is where I need to be. So that's what I'm thinking happened this weekend. Not to mention coach probably gave him whatever he wanted. Wine and dine, like I said, you know, he said, hey, you got 10 coaches come to your house. That's okay. Bring 10 family members when you come down here to see us, you know, bring your family with them. So I think that's what we got. And I think we get right. And it just sucks that we got to wait to 4 to find it.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, listeners. I don't know where else you're going to get is SEC podcast where a man breaking down polar vortex, weather updates, hometown research. But that's what this podcast does. And I'm pumped about it, Shane.
I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped, brother. And it's going to be a beautiful day when he comes down here.
All right, Shane. Before we jump off, you got anything else?
Yeah, Mike. Actually, I do. I've got a couple of reviews.
All right, let's do it.
Thank you for being a friend. All right, brother. The first one comes from Huey98. Great show, 5 stars. Guys, I've been listening since the beginning and have chatted back and forth with Mike. I tell you, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I prefer y'all over any other football podcast. I look forward to the coming season and wish you continued success, Hugh. Hugh, I appreciate you, brother. Obviously, Mike does too, because you guys have been chatting.
Yeah, thanks, Hugh. We appreciate it.
All right, brother. And the last one here, this one comes from Scooby K, another broke iPhone buyer. 5 stars. I pulled out a second mortgage to buy this iPhone just to 5-star these guys. On a serious note, I'm an AU fan and doesn't have a lot of time to keep up with all 14 SEC teams. Being able to listen to these guys on the way to work allows me to keep up with the whole league and with plenty of humor. For Vols homers, you'd never think it'd be... Oh, man, I'm messing this up. Can you cut this part out?
No.
For do I need to start over?
No, go ahead.
Okay. For Vol homers, you never guess it until you hear the Go Vols at the end. Thanks, Mike, and you too with your big orange Vols. You two have the best SEC podcast out there, and you keep the laughs coming. War Eagle, and do 5 shows a week, he says. Well, Scooby K, I appreciate you.
Yeah, and we also got an update today on Monday I thought was pretty interesting. So we are on the charts, obviously, in the United States. We knew that one. Canada, we knew that. Mexico, and now we are in Laos, Shane. So how about that?
Oh, I didn't you say we rank, what is it, 8th in Laos now?
Or? Yeah, this week we're number 8 in Laos right now. So if you're listening from all the way from Laos, whoever you are, we really appreciate it. We don't care where you're from. If you want some SEC content, we're happy to give it to you. And we're just going to keep doing it all off season as much as we can.
Absolutely. Where the heck is Laos?
I think it's near Vietnam there in Asia.
All right. All right. Somebody just activated the iPhone. All right. Oh, brother, that's all I've got.
All right, Chad, I'll catch you on the next one. Thank you, as always, for joining me. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys. Go Vols. Dude, I'm all over the place, Mike. I'm sorry.